Welcome, everybody. Pastor Eli James here, and today is April 5th, 2024. This is Yahweh's Covenant People on Eurofolk Radio, and today we're going to have a potpourri of different topics, basically a roundup of interesting news from the day. And the first thing we're going to be talking about is the earthquake. The earthquake that happened in New Jersey, and I put the link to the story in the chat room already, and the governor of New Jersey in this post is issuing a speech, but I won't bother to play that. Anyway, the headline is, New Jersey, New York City rocked by rare 4.8 magnitude earthquake and aftershocks. Well, just before the eclipse, huh? All right. If you guys haven't looked at the main page of Eurofolk Radio yet, I posted the interview that Professor Truth and I did about the April 8th eclipse and all the prophetic significance of it, and the end times prognostications that we did on this show, quoting a lot of scripture and getting really tight with redemption and repentance. That's what's required of the American people. We'll see how much of that we get in the near future. I still think we have a few years left of life on Earth. Is there such a thing as life on Earth? Is this living, what we're going through? It's hard to say. I wouldn't call this living. Yeah. Okay. All right. Hold on, folks. I got a different microphone, so let me amp up the volume here and get a little. I don't know how it came down. Okay. But I think it's because I got a different microphone. But in any case, hopefully that I'm gonna have to bump it up even more. I didn't have an update, but yeah, I'll just boost it right on my mixing board. Hopefully that'll do. That's maximum. Okay. Hopefully that'll do it. Okay. So, yeah, let me just check my internal. Yeah, it's we're tickling the yellow in the broadcaster. It should be a little louder, but I can't do that live on the air. I have to go into my computer settings to get it louder. In any case, I'm hoping this will be good enough. And so let's check out this story here. A 4.8 magnitude earthquake rocked the Northeast Friday morning in what New York Governor Kathy Hochul called one of the largest earthquakes on the East Coast since in the last century. The earthquake was there. Let me just go right there. Because I want to read from Matthew 24, signs of the end of the age, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? He's talking about the end times. Okay. And he's actually predicting, just after he predicted the demolition of the temple in Jerusalem. And they asked him, what shall be the signs of thy coming? So they already have an idea that there will be a second coming and the end of the world. Now, where they got this idea, well, there's passages where he says in John, it's mostly reported in John, that I must leave you, depart from this world, but I will see you again. I don't think that's in Matthew. So it seems kind of odd coming in Matthew. It's definitely talked about in John, but let's continue. So anyway, they say, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name. Just about every Judeo preacher is coming in his name, right? Oh, Jesus, we love Jesus. Jesus is love, and Jesus loves everybody. So therefore, you got nothing to worry about. For many shall come in my name, saying, for I am Christ, or I am a Christian, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are just the beginning of sorrows. So diverse places, places that they usually are not found. Okay? All right, so the usual places like California, well, this one in New York is very unusual. I think the article says something like 1888 or 1881 was the last time New York City was hit by an earthquake. So we're seeing a major, major change in the nature of earthquakes. So there's going to be, well, I know everybody's been predicting one at the New Madrid Fault Line, and I'm going to be there on April 8th, so let me just make a quick announcement about that. I will be there on April 8th, and I know people have been warning me to be careful because there have been reports that the deep state is going to attack the people attending the, you know, the eclipses in the various states, and that may happen, so I may just have to wear a gas mask. I'm not sure, but I'm going to rely on Yahweh's protection because I will be there on Monday at X marks the spot in Makanda, Illinois, approximately 2 p.m. The forecast is clear and sunny, so it should be a great observation of the eclipse. I can't wait. Simply cannot wait. Anyway, so that's my plan, and there will be no Voice of Christian Israel this Sunday because I have to travel from Harrison to Makanda on Sunday and set up a tent and get all settled because there's no way I'll be able to get there on Monday. It has happened last time in 2017 when I tried to drive there on Eclipse Day. The I-57 was just a total parking lot. Could not get anywhere. So. And I couldn't get anywhere on US 51 either, so I had to get as close as I could. But I still was fortunate to be in totality. And I actually was fortunate enough that the park that I chose to settle in, I had there was a guy with a camera who had a special lens where he could actually videotape the eclipse and project it on the screen. So it was really nice. That was really nice. Now, in this case, I won't have that luxury, but I want to get there early to get right at the dead center, the spot. So let's continue here. The earthquake was centered near White House Station, New Jersey, and shook buildings from Philadelphia to New Jersey and New York City to Connecticut and Westchester, New York. It could be felt as far south as Washington, D.C., and as far north as Maine, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. Several weaker aftershocks were also reported in the hours following the initial quake, including one measuring 4 magnitude, centered near Gladstone, New Jersey, Friday evening, according to preliminary data from the USGS. Okay, there were no reports of injuries or major damage following the initial quake. There is a low likelihood of casualties and damage, according to the USGS. And in Chicago, you know, having lived there from 1951 to 2022, I would say that I only recall one earthquake, which was a real quick rumble that our building shook, and maybe one other one, which was even less noticeable. But I remember my wife and I, shortly after we got married, lived in an apartment right across the street from Wrigley Field that you may catch the right behind the firehouse that is across the street from Wrigley Field. And we definitely felt an earthquake rumble through the neighborhood, and but it was just very quick. It only took like 2 seconds, and that was it. Nothing fell off the shelves. It was just the feeling of the earthquake. That's it. So it looks like that's what this is here, as people are being quoted here. I felt like there was a roller coaster under my house going 1,000 miles an hour. Carol Nicolaitis of Brooklyn, New York said, "I first thought pipes were exploding under my house. Quote, I was sitting in my living room and I saw the wall shaking. It felt like a wave," she said. "It felt like a subway train running under the couch," said Rocco Petropoulos, who was an 8th floor Manhattan apartment. Oh boy. Oh man, you don't want to be living in a high rise during a major earthquake, folks. All the big cities are in trouble. This was the strongest quake in the greater New York City metro area since 1884, according to the Lamont Daugherty Earth Observatory at Columbia University. Con Edison said there are no reports of outages, and the MTA said there was no service disruption to New York City's subway system. Can you imagine if the subway system collapses due to us? So this is 4.8. And I think you start seeing major damage when you get up toward 7. In New York, sorry, in New Jersey, only limited damage has been reported. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy said President Joe Biden was briefed on the earthquake and spoke with Murphy. Quote, I spoke. I should have had popcorn before the show. I spoke to the governor, Biden told reporters. He thinks everything's under control, not too concerned. So things are all right. Okay. New York City schools stayed open as normal, according to the city, because they're not learning anything there anyway. At this time, there is no indication that our buildings are compromised, and our facility staff are quickly and thoroughly inspecting buildings to ensure safety. The safest place for our kids right now is in our school, or maybe in a church basement. At Rye County, maybe those churches are still good for something. At Rye County Day School in Rye, New York, the students thought it was the coolest thing ever. Oh, yeah, the walls are shaking. Look at that. The picture of Joe Biden fell off the wall and the glass broke. Hooray, said Gail Sestito, dean of grade 7 and 8 and a middle school science instructor. Many said they saw the lights shaking a little and the smart board vibrate. But mostly we heard it. Sounded like students running down the hall, she said. As science teachers, we were excited to dive into the details we could find. Our 7th grade is currently teaching geology, so it's a perfect real life connection. Okay, so a real life earthquake. They were fortunate it wasn't a couple of points bigger, because every point it gets bigger, it's an order of magnitude greater. It's a multiplication factor. So, folks, we're going to see more of these. We're going to see more of these big quakes. And I'm still waiting for the big one to hit the West Coast. Still waiting for that. Okay. So, initial update on this earthquake. And now I'm going to switch to an article by Chuck Baldwin. And wait a minute. I think I have. I may have a link to this, because he is one of the only. This is just a subscription link, so let me go back. Excuse me. And this article is titled "Biden and Bibi, Demon-Possessed Mass Murderers." Yeah, he's right about that. He's absolutely right about that. So let's get back to this by Chuck Baldwin, and it's today, or not yesterday, actually, April 4th, 2024. When most people think of someone being demon possessed, they think of a madman who runs around naked in graveyards or runs around naked across the baseball stadium. What do they call it? Streaking. We are told of a demon possessed man in Luke 8:26 to 39, who resembled that description. People can be driven out of their minds by politics, by economics, by stupidity, by demonic influences, for sure. For example, I have no doubt that much of the mental illness that accompanies attempted mass killings today is in reality demonic possession. No, it's staged by Jews. Those people are hired to do these mass killings. Our culture is awash in demonic occultic activity. So why should we be surprised when the number one symptom of that activity, mass murder, begins to escalate? Boy, we've been having mass murder in Kyrgyzstan. However, I say with utmost confidence that most demon-possessed men today are not running around naked in cemeteries, though they only do that at night. They are, quote, dignified, wealthy men sitting in fashionable, ornate offices, wearing expensive suits, and sitting in seats of great power. That's Dracula, right? Dracula, of course, Dracula has to sleep in his coffin by day, and he comes out at night. But these people, they go out in the woods and party and have their ritual sacrifices at night, and then they come back in the daytime with their business suits on. Never forget that the two main character traits of Satan are lying and murder, John 8:44, and Jesus ascribed those character traits not to the maniac of Gadara referred to in Luke 8, but to the pious and powerful Pharisees. Oh man, you are really close to the truth here. You're right on, actually, Chuck Baldwin, who were teachers of the law and rulers under Caesar and Herod over Jerusalem and Judea. The only thing he doesn't point out is that these Pharisees are today's Jews. There is no place where deception and murder are more ubiquitous than in positions of power. The greater the power, the greater the deception and murder. The most prolific murderers in human history have always been governmental leaders. It's not a short read, but you really should read the book Death by Government by R.J. Rummel. As a minister of the gospel who will commemorate his 49th year in the ministry this June, I have had my share of personal confrontations with people that I knew were demon-possessed, probably most of the ministers that he's met. Plus, my studies on this subject have given me significant insight into this devilish phenomenon. Accordingly, I am convinced that the most rabid warmongers and rabbis are pro-abortion advocates, baby killers, are revealing symptoms of demon possession. And no two men alive are more reflective of that spiritual diagnosis than Joe Biden and Benjamin Netanyahu. But it's interesting. Joe Biden has issued warnings to BB. And the American government is growing fed up with the continual violence by the Kyrgyzstan regime against the Palestinian people. I mean, it's no secret. Only the Christian Zionists are unaware of the fact that all the news coming from there is fake, and it's the Jews who are committing all the atrocities, not Hamas. These two men are literally obsessed with death and deception. Yes, they are. Inset here, the Biden White House has approved of sending billions of dollars worth of new military equipment and ammo to Israel, the Washington Post has revealed. Even amid public criticism from U.S. officials over Prime Minister Netanyahu's intent to soon send ground troops into Rafah, which is expected to result in a humanitarian disaster in the refugee-packed southern city. Okay, well, the violence, the genocide continues. And, of course, that whole area is now like an Auschwitz. It's a Jewish death camp for Palestinians. Quote, oh, wow. This package is to include 25 F-35 fighter jets. Make it easier to kill civilians, sources told the Post. And additionally, the highly controversial 2,000-pound bombs, which have been known to kill indiscriminately in Gaza when deployed by the Israeli Air Force. Quote, the new arms packages include more than 1,800, oh my goodness, MK-84 2,000-pound bombs and 500 MK-82 500-pound bombs. According to Pentagon and State Department officials familiar with the matter, the report indicates, of course, nothing about this on Jews media. The 2,000-pound bombs have been linked to previous mass casualty events throughout Israel's military campaign in Gaza. These officials, like some others, spoke to the Washington Post on the condition of anonymity because recent authorizations have not been disclosed publicly, as we just said. The 2,000-pound bombs have been flagged by human rights monitors as behind much of the soaring Palestinian casualties, given they can demolish entire city blocks and produce craters over 40 feet wide. The weaponry was approved as part of a prior authorization, but it highlights that for all the current U.S.-Israel tensions due to the soaring civilian death toll in the Gaza campaign, Biden is certainly no closer to attaching conditions on Kyrgyzstan when it comes to deployment of U.S.-supplied weapons. Yeah, we'll send more. A State Department official has explained that fulfilling an authorization from one notification to Congress can result in dozens of individual foreign military sales cases across the decades-long life cycle of the congressional notification. Well, you know, I'd say half the companies that produce arms in America are also owned by Jews. So it's Jews supplying, the American Jews supplying Israeli Jews. A State Department official has explained that, quote, fulfilling an authorization from one notification to Congress can result in dozens of individual foreign military sales cases across a decades-long life cycle of the congressional notification. So the beat goes on. The beat goes on, as Sonny Bono, Sonny and Cher, have told us. As a matter of practicality, major procurements like Israel's F-35 program, for example, are often broken out into several cases over many years. A New York Times investigation in December concluded that Israel has been using 2,000-pound bombs supplied by the U.S. in Gaza neighborhoods on a routine basis. Can you imagine? I'm going to talk about earthquakes. The Pentagon has said it almost never uses these types of weapons in densely populated urban areas anymore. But, you know, that's the Defense Department. That's not the Israeli state, because of the likelihood of large-scale civilian casualties. The Times report further said that 2,000-pound bombs had been dropped on Gaza and even inside declared safe zones in the south some hundreds of times. So that shows you the extent to which the Jews of Israel are interested in peace. And of course, we know they are not. They're definitely not interested in peace. They're interested in dictatorship, genocide, etc. That's all they're interested in. Okay, so here, okay, sorry folks, I lost my place. I have to reestablish my connection here to, I accidentally clicked on the quake story again and lost my place in my email account. So let me go there real quick because I want to finish this story by Chuck Baldwin. Give me a second. I hate when this happens, but it happens a lot, right? Especially lately, because I'm flipping back and forth between two different computers. So let me go there. And so, man, we are getting really bombarded with bad news lately, right? Bad news. And as I like to say, no news is good news. We're in a terrible, terrible state. Okay, so let's see if we can find this. Yeah, here we go. And getting back to the article, scroll down. I was about halfway through. And continuing, as you read the above report, you can see how imbecilic it is to believe that only some 30,000 Palestinians have been slain in Gaza since October 7, and why a more realistic number is 200,000. And with demands coming from all over the world, even from within Kyrgyzstan itself, to stop the slaughter in Gaza, Biden and Bibi have just collaborated on increasing the number of bombs and missiles that America will distribute to Israel and that Bibi will use to kill many more thousands of defenseless, innocent women and children. More than 70% of the Palestinians who have died in Israel's genocide have been women, children, and babies. And Israel has never proven that the remaining 30% were Hamas fighters, not even close. So it amazes me that anybody still believes the lies coming from Israel. My friends, this is demonic. We are not talking about self-defense here. Israel's war against Gaza has never been about self-defense. It's about mass murder, genocide, and ethnic cleansing. This has been Israel's MO since it began its first Nakba in December of 1947, and that is correct. How many decades? 75 years. To get a glimpse at the barbarism which the IDF soldiers are killing innocent civilians, I invite you to watch this brief video clip of IDF soldiers cold-bloodedly murdering two unarmed civilians who had their hands up waving white flags, then using giant bulldozers to scoop up their bodies and dump them into a quickly dug-out grave to try to hide the killings. It's nauseating to watch, to say the least. And while evangelicals in the U.S. are cheering on the demonic slaughter of hundreds of thousands of innocent people, many of them fellow Christians, tens of thousands of Pakistan citizens are marching in the streets in protest over the war in Gaza and demanding Netanyahu's ouster. Well, I think some of the even Jews can see that the backlash against what's happening might affect them. And while, another inset here, quotation, tens of thousands of people have gathered outside the Israeli parliament building in Jerusalem in the largest anti-government protest since Israel launched its assault on Gaza. The protesters on Sunday demanded the government secure a ceasefire deal that would also free Israeli captives held by Hamas in Gaza, and called for early elections. Well, we were told there'd be wars and rumors of wars, and they're nonstop. There's been nothing but war in the abomination of desolation called the Israeli state since its founding. It's been constant war, constant genocide against the Palestinian people, and constant wars carried out against other nations surrounding Israel. But it's very interesting that the Israeli flag, which has the two blue stripes, you got the Tsar Remphan, the hexagram in the middle, and the two blue paths in the top and bottom, which represent, on the one hand, the Tigris and Euphrates, on the other hand, the River Nile, which the Jews claim for themselves because they claim to be the recipients of the promise made to Abraham of that, you know, that area. Well, isn't it interesting that they haven't expanded their territory at all in 75 years? Not one inch. The only thing they have claimed is little Palestine. The rest of the Middle East is resisting their attempts to claim that territory. It's not going to happen because they're not Israel and they never will occupy all that territory. Demonstrators claimed the Jerusalem protest was the biggest since Pakistan launched its war on Gaza in October. Quote, after 6 months, it seems like the government understands that Bibi Netanyahu is an obstacle, demonstrator Anaf Moses, whose father-in-law, Gadi Moses, is being held captive, told the Associated Press News Agency, like he doesn't really want to bring them back and that they have failed in this mission. The crowd stretched for blocks around the Knesset, and organizers have decided to continue the demonstration for several days. They say they want to oust Netanyahu. They say they're fed up with his policies. The prime minister was doing everything for politics, nothing for the country, Lapid said. Thousands of others demonstrated in Tel Aviv, Israel's largest city. So, the best thing that can happen in the world is for Jews to start killing each other, arguing with each other, fighting against each other. That's the best thing that could be happening in the world. So, it's another sign of the end times, folks. Continuing, Joe Biden further displays his Antichrist spirit by officially declaring Resurrection Easter Sunday as Transgender Visibility Day. Cover up, please. Biden seems to revel in committing blasphemy. According to Jesus, the most glaring character trait of satanically inspired men is preoccupation, fixation, and obsession with death and deception. Biden and Bibi reek with it. Copyright, Chuck Baldwin. Well said, Chuck. Very, very good. Okay, so there is sanity somewhere in the world, and he is sane. He's a sane Christian. I'll put it that way. All right. So now for an interesting, I think maybe I can get a link on this one. The German government has admitted that there was never a pandemic. So let me copy this link and put it into the chat room. All right, here we go. This is from Forbidden Knowledge. German government admits there was no pandemic. Let me play this. This may be in English. I'm not sure. So let me see what this has to say.
Huge news out of Germany, as the federal government have been forced to admit that so-called conspiracy theorists are right about everything during the COVID pandemic. In fact, according to the German government data, there was no pandemic at all, just a tightly choreographed military-grade psyop to brainwash the masses into accepting an experimental vaccine with disastrous consequences. These secret German government documents, obtained via a Freedom of Information request and subsequent lawsuits, have blown the lid off the global elite's COVID lies. And it's vitally important that as many people as possible are made aware of the truth. Before we dive in, subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, and join the People's Voice Locals community to join our incredible community and support the channel. More and more people all over the world are waking up and seeing the global elite for what they've always been. Deranged psychopaths hell-bent.
Just as Chuck Baldwin told us in his article, right? So I'm going to go ahead and play this because what I was about to read, I see that this video is saying the text is simply a transcript of this video. I'm hoping he'll show the German chancellor, but I'll just play this and comment.
Bent on destruction and domination. Germany is no different. The German population suffered some of the most brutal lockdowns and vaccine mandates in all of Europe. And now the people are rising up and demanding accountability. Step forward, Paul Schreier and Multipolar Magazine, who launched a Freedom of Information request and then launched a lawsuit against the German government when they tried every trick in the book to keep the secret documents under lock and key. As Professor Stephen Homburg explains, the results are stunning and represent total vindication for everybody who dared to question the narrative of lockdowns and mask and vaccine mandates. The secret government documents, all 2,000 pages of total vindication for everybody who dared to...
Let me just quote from the document that's on the screen here. Number one, over 2,000 pages showing that the pandemic was all fraud. Highlights: one, high health risk was not derived from data, but a political decision. Number two, herd immunity was seen as a mere narrative. Well, of course, it was all fake. All fake. The rest of it is in German, so I won't bother to read that. Let's continue.
Question the narrative of lockdowns and mask and vaccine mandates. The secret government documents, all 2,000 pages of them, reveal that we were right about nearly everything, and the so-called pandemic was all a fraud.
Meine sehr geehrten Damen und Herren, wir haben dunkle Jahre hinter uns. Zunächst das Wichtigste in fünf Stichpunkten.
Erst. We have had dark times under us. Okay, so I'll read. Let's start with the most important things in five key points.
Klinikbelegung in Deutschland.
Firstly, hospital occupancy in Germany fell to an all-time low in 2020, as it did in America.
Und bundesweit im Jahre 2020 auf ein historisches Allzeittief, sagt das Bundesgesundheitsministerium.
Said the German Federal Ministry of Health. Oh, this is great news, folks.
Zweitens gab es 2020 und 2021.
Secondly, there were no more severe respiratory illnesses than usual in 2020 and 2021. as we have been reporting here at Earfolk Radio.
Sich nicht mehr schwere Atemwegserkrankungen als sonst. Corona kam, die Influenza verschwand.
Yeah, he says, Corona came, but the flu disappeared. So in other words, Corona was the flu.
Zeitweise. Sagen die Sentinel-Daten des RKI.
Wow, says the Robert Koch Institute.
Drittens starben im Jahr 2020 altersstandardisiert.
Okay, thirdly, age-standardized mortality was not higher in 2020 than usual.
Nicht mehr Menschen als sonst auch. Erst seit 2021 nimmt die Sterblichkeit zu.
Mortality has only increased since 2021. That's when people were beginning to be jabbed.
Sagen Daten des Statistischen Bundesamts. Viertens waren Menschen, die mit oder an Corona verstarben,
Fourthly, people who died with or from coronavirus,
im Mittel 83 Jahre,
were an average of 83 years old, as we reported. They were mainly people living in nursing homes or in hospitals.
Alt. Und die übrigen Verstorbenen im Mittel 82 Jahre alt, sagen RKI und Statistisches Bundesamt. Fünftens und letztens.
Fifthly, Sweden, which was free of masks and lockdowns, fared better than Germany.
Schnitt das Masken- und Lockdown-freie Schweden besser ab als Deutschland, sagt die WHO.
According to
den
the
Maßnahmen
WHO?
Lag das alles also nicht.
So, normal illnesses and deaths were not due to the measures.
In der Summe sind die fünf Behauptungen so unglaublich,
all in all, the five claims are so unbelievable,
dass sie in ihren Tagungsunterlagen einen Umdruck von mir finden, der heißt amtliche Corona-Fakten. Dort haben sie jeweils einen amtlichen Link zu jeder dieser Behauptungen.
Okay, so, this is amazing, folks, that the German government is it actually admitting that the whole thing was a fraud, an absolute fraud. Fantastic. Let's continue.
These facts are damning and prove the official narrative about COVID pushed by world governments and mainstream media is completely bogus, which makes the tyranny we experienced during the so-called pandemic even harder to swallow, as Professor Homburg explains.
Klinisch, in Bezug auf echte Krankheiten und Todesfälle,
clinically, in terms of real illnesses and deaths, there was nothing special about
Corona. Gab es nichts Besonderes. Es war alles normal.
It was all normal.
Das sind Fakten und das ist der wichtigste Punkt.
These are facts and that is the most important point. Amen.
Die Vorstellung einer Pandemie ergab sich ausschließlich.
The idea of a pandemic arose exclusively from new types of mass testing without
durch aus neuartigen, anlasslosen Massentests,
wow,
deren Ergebnisse enorm schwankten und dem Publikum vorgaukelten, es gäbe
which led the public to believe that there were more sick people and deaths than usual. Yeah.
Mehr Kranke und Tote als sonst, was nicht stimmte. Mit einem PCR-Test auf Rhinoviren
okay,
hätte man dieselbe
for rhinoviruses could have created similar illusions, but the PCR test, as the founder or the creator of it said, it's not designed to diagnose illness.
Illusionen erzeugen können, und das könnte man momentan auch, wenn man es wollte.
And governments created these illusions.
Wie hat die Politik auf diese klinische Normallage reagiert? Sie schloss Kitas, Schulen.
They closed daycare centers, schools, stores, churches and businesses for months over this fraud.
Geschäfte, Kirchen und Betriebe monatelang, ließ Alte isolieren und einsam sterben.
I'm surprised that the audience isn't moaning and groaning. It's unbelievable what we're hearing here, folks. They isolated the elderly and left them to die.
Zerstörte Existenz.
And destroyed
die Polizei verbot das Buchlesen auf einer Parkbank, machte Jagd auf Jugendliche im Freien und auf Kinder im Schnee, prügelte friedliche Demonstranten nieder. Die Politik grenzte jeden aus, der nach dem Sinn der Maßnahmen fragte. Sie ließ das ZDF verkünden, Kinder glichen virenübertragenden Ratten und Ungeimpfte seien Blinddärme, die nicht zum Volkskörper gehörten. Eine Sprache, wie wir sie seit 75 Jahren nicht mehr kannten.
Oh, there we go. Finally, applause. Can you believe this, folks? Can you believe this? This is awesome that the German government officially has said this whole thing is nothing but a hoax. Let's continue.
The data also reveals that Sweden, which was the only European country free of mosques and lockdowns, performed much better than Germany. Which raises the question, what were the tyrannical lockdowns and mandates really about? Professor Homburg has the answer. And as it turns out, we were right all along.
Weil das masken- und lockdownfreie Schweden als Vorbild dienen konnte, muss man über dies fragen. Ob die Maßnahmen wirklich Ansteckungen verhindern sollten, was sie offensichtlich nicht taten, oder vielmehr dem Ziel dienten, den Impfwiderstand der Bevölkerung zu brechen.
Breaking down vaccine hesitancy through brutal lockdowns was always the goal of the global elite. Unfortunately, for those who did not see through the slip at the time, the health consequences are dire. Serious questions must be asked.
Drittens und letztens, warum hat die Politik die Verabreichung eines experimentellen Impfstoffs nicht nur erlaubt, sondern die Menschen durch 2G, 3G und sektorale Impfpflichten faktisch gezwungen, den Stoff zu nehmen? Warum gab es Notzulassungen ohne Not? Warum haben unzählige Impfschäden keine Konsequenzen?
Unfortunately for the facts, the bad news doesn't end there. Japanese researchers have linked COVID vaccines to hundreds of diseases. While a new study out of the US has found that those who have been vaccinated and boosted can expect to meet their maker far sooner than they would have expected. Before we go into that, here's an important word from our sponsor.
Okay, very good. So, this is an excellent report. I'll just go back into reading it, but maybe I should just go ahead. I can't find the entire text here. But that is definitely a worthwhile link. I'll definitely share that when I upload this audio later today. So let's get into other news here from our email grab bag. And let's see what else. Okay. All right. All right. This should be good. Planned Israeli attack threatens the entire Arab world. This is from RT, and I'm not sure whether this will post in the chat room. I'll give it a try because it's an email, and it may not post. It's not a link, I don't think. But we'll give it a try here. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, I will continue to read here. Again, the title is Planned Israeli Attack Threatens Entire Arab World. Or not just the Arab world, the whole world. This is the Samson option. The organization reportedly warned that an invasion of Rafah would destroy any chance of peaceful resolution to the Pakistan-Hamas war. Now, of course, we know that the Jews are planning on this bogus red heifer prophecy, which does not exist in the Bible, which is utterly Talmudic and bogus, and the attempt to rebuild, quote, sorry, not rebuild, build a third temple, because the Jews never built anything in the Middle East. They stole everything. Even 2,000 years ago, they stole everything. So, but that means they're going to have to destroy the Temple Mount, which is the third holiest site for the Arabs, for the Muslims. Would the Jews actually dare to do this? Let's read. An Israeli attack on the Palestinian city of Rafah, located in Gaza on the Egyptian border, would be considered an attack. And I wonder what the Egyptians think about all this, with all of the bombs being dropped right across the border of their country. Would be considered an attack on pan-Arab national security, the Council of Arab League has announced, according to reports. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has reportedly vowed to invade the refugee-packed city despite international condemnation. The decision came during an extraordinary meeting of the 22-nation council in Cairo on Wednesday, Al Arabiya reported. The council also declared that invading Rafah will lead to the collapse of chances for peace and the expansion of the conflict, the Saudi broadcaster paraphrased. Now, we have reported in the past that the Saudis are actually crypto-Jews, but they still rule over a bunch of Arabs who are not Jews, and they have to appease that Arab population in the wake of all of these Jewish atrocities against other Arabs. Now, the amazing thing to me, as has been the case in Palestine, is how little sympathy that the other Arab nations really feel for the Palestinians. It's like the Palestinians don't exist. It's like they're non-entities. But of course, we're dealing with the pressures placed upon them by the global Zionist elite, who will have, with the Samson option, have threatened them all: if you don't support our policies, we'll blow you to smithereens. Well, this may start to happen, folks. Okay, so the meeting was called by Palestine to address Israel's genocide and policies of starvation and displacement, as well as the refusal to abide by a UN Security Council resolution demanding that it halt military operations in Gaza during the month of Ramadan. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced on Sunday that he had approved an operational plan to invade Rafah, claiming that, quote, there is no victory without entering Rafah, and there is no victory without eliminating the Hamas battalions there, unquote. And as we have reported many times here on Eurofolk Radio, Hamas is a creation of the Israelis. They're simply a, not gatekeepers. Gatekeepers would be the wrong word. They're actually military. They're part of the military operation of the IDF. They use Hamas to start wars so they can blame the attacks on Palestinians instead of Jews. Netanyahu has promised since February to send troops into Rafah, a densely packed city located in southern Gaza, with much of the rest of the enclave destroyed by Israeli bombing raids and ground maneuvers. Rafah is currently home to an estimated 1.5 million displaced people, more than half of the pre-conflict population of the enclave. As such, Netanyahu has been heavily criticized for his planned invasion. Yeah, heartless Jew that he is. The UN has warned that an assault on Rafah could lead to a slaughter of civilians, while the U.S. has refused to back the operation without seeing an Israeli plan to move civilians out of harm's way. That's not going to happen. As of Monday, American officials were still waiting to see such a plan. They're never going to see it. The Jews could care less. Last month, U.S. President Joe Biden warned Netanyahu that Israel would be crossing a red line. Oh, yeah, tough guy. Tough guy Biden. If it invaded Rafah. Netanyahu dismissed Biden's warning, telling German media, quote, I have a red line. You know what that red line is? That October 7th doesn't happen again. Well, it's going to happen over and over again because the Israelis have done it 1,000 times. Okay. Hamas fighters attacked Israel on October 7th. That's a lie. Killing around 1,100 people and taking roughly 250 hostages back to Gaza. The whole thing was a Jewish operation from the very beginning. And the whole point was to blame Palestinians for something they have not done. Israeli Pakistani responded by imposing a near total siege on Gaza and launching air raids on the enclave, followed by a ground invasion. Now, it simply doesn't make any sense that the Israeli state would be risking turning the entire world against them simply for killing, you know, going on genociding Palestinians. As we first reported, you know, there's other reasons for this. There's oil off the shore of Gaza. They're planning on doing a canal through Gaza into the Mediterranean from the south, etc. And maybe there's a few other goals they plan. But why not move all of these? Why not give these refugees a safe place? It's amazing that this proceeds without the world community just simply tearing Israel to shreds in the press by government speeches. It's just not happening. It just shows you how much the Jews control the entire world. Absolute total control of all politicians, with the possible exception of Iran. With the UN is, the UN created the Israeli state, so you're not going to get anything from the UN. Now, the Arab League has repeatedly condemned Pakistan's war and called for the establishment of an independent Palestinian state. Yeah, well, what have they done? What has the Arab League actually done for the Palestinians? The organization has also rejected Jewish proposals to move the entire population of Gaza into Egypt and the West, with Secretary General Ahmed Abul Gait calling these plans insane. Well, it looks like the people of Palestine are just going to continue to experience total genocide, and the world community is going to be powerless to do anything about it. But this is the nature of the Jew, folks. This is the nature of the synagogue of Satan. The synagogue of Satan will never back down. And the world community, because all of, you know, well, they've all been threatened. You know, the Samson option is a total threat against the European nation states. Okay. So we're talking about those demon-possessed people that Chuck Baldwin talked about earlier. That's what we're dealing with. One more item here. Atrocity propaganda versus the testimony of atrocity by Mondawais. This is the Mondawais.net article posted there. Since October 7th, Zionists have wielded atrocity propaganda to justify genocide, while Palestinians have shared testimony of the atrocities they have witnessed. The difference is not just in the truth of these stories, but also their function. Through the fog of October 7th emerged the story of a woman 4 months pregnant whose abdomen was sliced open, her fetus stabbed while she and her children watched, and when the stabbing was done, the woman was shot and killed, again in front of her children. This, according to Eli Beer, B-E-E-R, the head of an Israeli rapid response team who claimed he'd seen it with his own eyes. The story circulated. So apparently, a Jewish woman, 4 months pregnant, or an Arab woman? Article's not clear. The story circulated quickly, expanding and contracting like an apocalyptic game of telephone. Another first responder offered the age of one of her children in his account, 6 or 7 years old, and claimed the fetus's umbilical cord was still attached, the knife left at the mother's side when he found her. Again, they should have identified the victim as either a Palestinian or a Jew. Superficially, certain details raise suspicions. A fetus at the end of 4 months of pregnancy is only about 6 inches long. Haaretz, Israel's paper of record and liberal Zionist leading, discredited the story in a report published in an early December after Israel had killed 15,000 Palestinians in Gaza alone. Anti-Zionist outlets such as this one had established this well before. The Israeli police said they hadn't encountered such a body at all, and, quote, no children 6 or 7 or near those ages were killed. Of course, wow. We know they've been killing babies. The police added that these responders without forensic training were not qualified to determine age or cause of death. Oh, we haven't officially investigated. Of course, the point was never the victim, but this line with which Beer closed his testimony, quote, these are not regular enemies. What does that mean? The Israelis have never worried about whether the enemies are regular or non-regular. Atrocity propaganda is a form of psychological warfare that spreads information about the crimes committed by an enemy, especially deliberate fabrications or exaggerations. The goal isn't to stop violence so much as to define the enemy, a monstrosity that threatens woman and child and future who comes to embody this horror. It also maintains a convenient tautology. Everything they do is aggression. Everything we do is retaliation. And that defines the Israeli state. Okay? We're just poor, persecuted Jews. The whole world is against us. Why is that? Why is the whole world against you? Victimization and aggression become intrinsic states rather than the descriptors of behavior. The differences between us and them are not material but essential. In the words of the current Israeli Prime Minister, quote, the children of light and the children of darkness. Oh yeah, well, we know which is which. And after everything the children of darkness have done, to ask about Israel's behavior, to call it aggression at all, is to sympathize with the enemy. To try and understand a state-declared enemy's behavior, to suggest the enemy is anything besides a nebulous ideological sink, is to sympathize with the enemy. To recognize the enemy's humanity is to sympathize with the enemy. And to sympathize with the enemy is to cede your own humanity. You're an anti-Semite. Everything we do against the enemy is necessary. The violence must be disproportionate because this is the only language they understand. Nothing short of extermination is enough, okay? Yeah, this is the record of the Israeli state now for 75 years, folks. It's never going to change. It won't end until Yahshua returns and puts all those people out of their misery. Can't wait for the day. I don't want to promote more violence, but that's what the Bible says. The judgment day is going to be very violent, and all the evildoers of the world will be taken out. Yeah, it sounds like a fake story. Well, they know they own the world, so the Jews are they see and accept no opposition, and that is total self-deception, but that's what happens when you become so vainglorious that you think you can control the world and not have to face any consequences. This is the reality of the Israeli state. We will continue to report stories like this to wake the world up. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.